Welcome to the Focus on Why podcast. I'm Amy Rowlandson and I ask my guests one simple question. Why? Focusing on the importance of why, I share with you the relatable, uplifting and inspiring conversations I have with people from all walks of life. This podcast will encourage you to focus on your why to enable and empower you to achieve the success you desire. Have a purpose, have a plan, focus on why. Before we start, I would like to draw your attention to my weekly email newsletter, Friday Focus. Each Friday, I focus on one topic with one action arising. The link to sign up is in the show notes, or head over to amyrowlandson.com and sign up right now. Hello and welcome to episode 394, my 63rd Reflections with Action solo episode of Focus on Why. I'm ever so close to that 400th episode milestone, which will be a different show to usual. I will be the guest on this show with my book editor, Beverly Glick, as the host, putting me in the hot seat, asking the questions. But that's for another day. Today, I get to reflect on my last five guests, Adrian Brown, Richard McCann, Hilary Briggs, Isaac Kenyon, and Bernie Mac, and what a wonderful group they are to reflect upon. It is always a joy to listen back to the episodes and tune in from the perspective of the listener and see what captures my attention this time round. As I don't ever have prepared questions for these interviews, I simply in the moment listen to what my guests have shared and ask them something which I will take us deeper into the topic. So I never know, neither does a guest, where we will travel together. I simply stay curious and listen. Obviously, purpose is at the heart of the conversation, but the not knowing where or what we will cover is part of the fun of the interview for my guest, for you as a listener, and for me as the host. One of my loyal listeners says she listens in and tries to guess what question I might ask next, which I absolutely love the concept of. Not sure if she gets it right or not, though. So let's dive into today's episode, starting with episode 389, Create Conditions for Growth with Adrian Brown. Now, Adrian was my first ever guest on the show way back in April 2020, so it feels fitting to have him back again as I near that four-year anniversary of the podcast to share what he's been up to in the last 4 years. Unsurprisingly, it would appear quite a lot. Adrian, coincidentally, was the first person to ever book me to speak at an event back in 2018 in Hampshire. He and his wife, Wendy, definitely provided me with a platform that has since evolved into what I now do as a professional speaker, podcaster and life purpose coach. So thank you to both Adrian and Wendy for seeing something in me that maybe I hadn't actually seen in myself at the time. So back to Adrian. With 40 years of experience spanning corporate and business startups in different industry sectors, Adrian Brown focuses on creating transformative conditions within teams. Adrian says, you've got to grow people. You've got to create the conditions for people to grow. That's what I've always done. And when I'm not doing it, it fails. From social contracts in small groups to the broader impact on global challenges, Adrian advocates for fostering a culture of contribution and innovation, saying transformation is about the workforce and it's going to come from the workforce up. Adrian is helping businesses unlock the secrets to purpose-driven change. His insightful, people-centered strategies focus on creating the right conditions for growth. He believes that there is not a talent shortage, but there is a shortage of people development. What do you think? Do you see a focus on people development in your working environment? Are you creating conditions for your own growth or for the growth of others? How do you navigate the complexities of organizational design and leadership in your business? In this episode, Adrian helps you to understand how you can tap into and fully embrace the existing people and their potential within the business today and of your own potential. What's not to love about that? What will happen when you unleash the potential of those around you within a work environment? Do you feel you have more to give? I know I do. Every day I seek to grow and learn. That's the essence of this podcast, the essence of my book, the essence of my coaching work. It is also what I want to focus in on today, specifically in relation to something Adrian said, which was Before evolution, there's emergence. Evolution works on what emerges. Now, the concept of evolution in regards to purpose is a whole chapter in my book, so I won't dive too deeply into the topic here. You'll have to wait to read that later this year once it's published. However, in regards to the concept of emergence and evolution and how it can be a reflection with action that you can take away today, let's take a brief look at how they play a key role in purpose. Emergence is when something starts to exist or becomes known. However, where complex systems or patterns arise from relatively simple interactions among individual components to create something new and unexpected, emergence takes on a different meaning. Collaboration with others creates emergence, and from this evolution takes place. Now, if this process is linked into purpose, you can see how a sense of purpose can emerge from interactions from various aspects of your life, your experiences, values, passions, work, hobbies, or relationships. What I see happening is that when people come together in the act of collaboration, incredible new connections can occur and the ripple effects of purpose are created in the process. The very process of reflection with action combined with collaboration is what causes emergence and evolution to occur. Emergent properties, influenced by your feedback loops and interactions within a system, evolves your sense of purpose and over time provides you with new experiences, challenges and opportunities. What may seem like disparate elements in your life come together through emergence as you engage with others and evolve your purpose. Staying open to opportunities, creating the right conditions for growth, helps you to navigate a more meaningful and purpose-focused life. The process of emergence and evolution is constant. It leads to greater clarity of purpose. A reminder here is that you cannot always control your circumstances. However, you can control your attitude as there is not one singular meaning of your life. Austrian neurologist, psychiatrist, philosopher, author, and Holocaust survivor Viktor E. Frankl understood and embraced his freedom of choice. In Man's Search for Meaning, your ability to choose your reaction under any circumstance is referred to as the last of the human freedoms. Frankl says that man is capable of changing the world for the better, if possible, and of changing himself for the better, if necessary. Every human being has the freedom to change at an instant. This is echoed by French philosopher Albert Camus. Freedom is nothing else but a chance to be better. Evolution of all life focuses on becoming a better version of its previous form. In every circumstance, there is an opportunity for freedom of thought. You have the freedom to choose your why. It is unique to you and dependent on your decisions, situations, and responsibilities. Inevitably, when talking with many of my podcast guests on this podcast, Focus on Why, everything comes back to the concept of freedom in one form or another. As they each speak of their own version of freedom and what it means to them. To define the type of freedom they seek is often referred in association with other elements. Freedom to create, freedom to work, freedom and love, freedom and choice, freedom and flexibility, freedom and opportunity, freedom and acceptance, freedom and independence, freedom and kindness, freedom of time, freedom of curiosity, freedom to be heard, freedom to explore, freedom of just being. Adrian shared a phrase which I believe perfectly fits this moment. Embrace the beautiful constraints, and as a leader or as a business owner or just a person living a life, if you're aware of the constraints as constraints and not problems, then it gives you the freedom to operate within those constraints. He followed that by saying, our beliefs change, but often they don't change because we don't give time to reflect on them. So we can get stuck because we're not having enough time to consider actually what's going on right now. This is what today's Reflection with Actions episode is all about. Build in the practice of regular reflection with action. Give yourself the gift of time to think, to reflect before you take any action. Remember, you have the freedom to choose. There are always more choices than you may immediately think there are in regards to any decision or situation you find yourself in. Be open to further exploration, to deeper reflection, and in relation to your purpose, emergence and evolution, be mindful as to whether you are creating the right conditions for growth. Next up is episode 390, Serendipitous Moments and Brave Steps with Richard McCann. Now, the way this recording came about was in itself a serendipitous moment. I was at the Professional Speaking Association conference in Birmingham in October 2023, speaking to Richard in one of the networking breaks, when our mutual friend Vicky O'Farrell came bounding up to us both and said to Richard, "You are going on AB's podcast, aren't you?" Richard asked me what the podcast was all about. I explained, and he said that he doesn't usually have time to record podcasts as he's so busy with all his speaking gigs. However, he would make an exception as he liked the concept. We managed to squeeze a date into his incredibly busy schedule, and I'm so glad we did, as something very serendipitous occurred as a result. Overcoming personal tragedy and surviving extreme adversity, motivational speaker and coach Rich McCann transformed his pain and suffering into purposeful change. This shift meant that for almost two decades now, Richard has empowered people with his I Can philosophy, enabling them to chart their own paths from darkness to purpose, to overcome challenges and to unleash their own potential. Delivering over 3,000 presentations worldwide on resilience, determination, responsibility and change, Richard sees a world full of walking miracles where the possibilities are limitless. Two constant threads have played and continue to play key roles in activating his purpose. One is he believes in serendipitous moments or encounters, and the other is he continuously takes purpose-driven, brave steps. Richard said that, "If I can get through those challenges and quite frankly go on to achieve far more than I ever thought possible, particularly in my younger years, if I can, then you, your loved ones and your colleagues can too." Now, I've got three questions for you which have arisen from this episode. Firstly, do you believe in serendipity? I do. The book I've written is the result of several serendipitous encounters, and more have occurred since, continuing to point me on the path I've chosen. While recording, both Richard and I experienced an incredible connection that had occurred between us over four decades ago. I shared with him the occurrence and he was blown away. You'll have to tune into the episode 390 to hear what it was, but it really is quite spectacular how our worlds collided in a singular moment decades ago. In the episode, I mentioned to Richard that he'd used the word brave many times, pointing out that bravery was perhaps a theme that has threaded its way through his life over the years. He said he was grateful for bringing that to his attention. He'd never really thought about the bravery that he'd shown over this time. Sharing another story of more recent bravery, he indeed recognised that yes, he had been brave throughout his life in many moments where he had to dig deep. With bravery in mind, my second question to you is, like Richard, are you taking brave steps towards what you desire in life? Where have you or are you digging deep to be brave right now? Are you willing to face fear, difficulty or uncertainty to take a risk to do what you believe is right or necessary? Do you have the strength to confront fears, risk stepping outside your comfort zone, even if the outcome is unknown? The impact of Richard's bravery has been instrumental in his own personal growth. However, it's also rippled into the work that he does to influence others to take brave steps too. As a child who faced immense adversity, he realised that he was destined in some way to make an impact on the world. That realisation has fuelled his brave decisions to share his story, write books, become a speaker, and work with children through his educational programmes. By instilling a message of self-belief and potential in young people, he is equipping them to face their own challenges. He embodies bravery in every sense and shows how it can be a catalyst for change, personal growth, and the ability to push through obstacles to unlock your true purpose. What is it that you could go on to achieve if you took brave steps? My final question is, do you know how and when to recognize signals of fear? Richard recommended a book in the episode, The Gift of Fear by Gavin De Becker. My reflection with action since recording the episode together has been to read that book, and wow, now I understand what a gift fear really is, but also what a gift the book is in itself. It is absolutely fascinating. And my reflection with action from the book is to trust my intuition completely, to not ever to dismiss a gut instinct that I have, because intuition is actually a far more complex, fully developed and trusted system than logic. I spoke in depth about intuition in my last Reflections with Actions episode and even wrote a blog about it, which you can read on my website, amyrowlandson.com. However, having read this book, I now see how it is even more vital to trust your intuition than I emphasised before. Intuition has evolved over thousands of years to be more accurate than you may give it credit for. Knowing how sophisticated and fast it acts, I now know to trust my intuition as it is the body's way of processing information really fast to prevent any harm from arising. Tuning into and respecting your fears and intuitions could be a critical decision point that steers your life in a new, often safer direction. Listen to the gut feelings. They could be crucial to not only saving your life, but also to leading you to live an incredible life filled with personal growth and transformation. This is how the combination of being open to serendipitous moments and taking those brave steps become invaluable to creating your life of purpose. Next up is episode 391, Rule of Thumb, with Hilary Briggs. Following on with the theme of bravery, do you make it a daily habit to push yourself every day? Do you take credit for the tremendous talents and abilities you have? And do you have a crisis management mindset? Employing a step-by-step, bit-by-bit approach to breaking down seemingly impossible challenges into more manageable chunks, award-winning international and TEDx speaker Hilary Briggs pushes through barriers every day. Facing down personal, professional, and sporting challenges, Hilary applies drive, determination, and purpose to triumph through focus. It is through her curiosity, resilience, and continuous strategic measurement that Hilary brings a new perspective to the rule of thumb. Now, rule of thumb was my reflection in the moment of recording that I shared with Hilary, referring to the action that she had adopted when breaking down what seemed impossible into possible on a walk that she was doing. This twist on the rule of thumb, which is usually applied to a general principle based on experience and common sense and not necessarily scientifically accurate, was because Hilary had used her thumb as a measure of distance needed to complete that walk. What I like about the phrase is that you can take your thumb with you wherever you go. It's a visual reminder that you are responsible for your actions, that you set your own rules for your life. Rules for life is the link here. The point I specifically want to make is, are you conscious of the life rules you follow? Have you set them for yourself, or are you subconsciously following other people's rules, which may not be aligned with your values? This is a reminder that you get to choose the rules that you live by. Like your purpose, they can evolve as you grow and learn. They're changeable and adaptable. Embracing change is an inherent component of personal growth, and a purposeful life requires self-awareness, adaptability to learn and evolve. Imagine yourself as a person who fully embodies the change you desire to see in the world. Reflect on how this version of you thinks, behaves, and interacts with others. List the specific actions and attitudes that characterize this embodiment of change and reflect on how you can integrate these qualities into your daily life and interactions. Form them into life purpose rules to live by. Create a feedback loop where you can regularly evaluate your purpose-focused progress, adjusting actions and strategies regularly and accordingly. Rule of thumb is an approximate method that is based on practical experience. This means it varies for everyone, and you get to evolve it into something that works well for you. Hilary has spent her life being spurred on by the phrase, "it can't be done," applying it to all areas of life. Not taking "it can't be done" as a limitation, Hilary in fact sees it as a springboard to use to investigate how it can be done. The starting point of caring enough about it is the first step in her three-step process. Having the desire to achieve what she focuses on is critical to success. So motivation comes first, then she takes action and follows it up with measurement of the action. Being able to measure what she does enables her to improve, modify, adapt, to evolve. Clarity of each of these steps helps her to take purposeful action and tackle these seemingly impossible challenges. Hillary's world expands with possibilities. She thinks, what's the worst that can happen? And then learns from what she experiences in the process. It reminds me of Tony Bazan's process of TEFCAS that I read in his book Headstrong back in 2016. Tony Bazan, the inventor of mind maps, died in April 2019, and it is his TEFCAS success formula which I'm referring to here in terms of programming the brain to become a success mechanism. It was Tony Bazan who taught me that it is acceptable to fail, to fall down, because what is important is that I get back up again and keep trying. If you teach your brain that failing is, in fact, learning, that it's part of the process needed to succeed, then it doesn't fear failing as much. Teaching the brain instead to recognize that you learn with every try. As the saying goes, if at first you don't succeed, try, try and try again. I know Bazan didn't coin this phrase, but he did use it to explain his model. TEFCAS stands for trial, event, feedback, check, adjust and success. It's the brain's aim is to achieve the goal, and the persistence of trying and adjusting from the feedback you receive leads to the success. You are a winner by simply not giving up. Hillary is focused on being the best she can be. She measures her results, engages with reality, and shows what's possible by simply doing it. It's an inspiration to see her push herself that little bit more every time. This is how powerful it can be if you apply purpose with that rule of thumb. Next up is episode 392, Healing Power of Nature with Isaac Kenyon. Now, Isaac reached out to me, sharing that he had been an avid listener of the podcast and had been truly inspired by the incredible guests and stories that I featured. He wanted to reach out to me because he believed he had a unique and impactful story that he could share with the audience. After listening to a particular episode that I had recorded with Alex Staniforth, which was episode 128, Mind Over Mountains, who also combines adventure with mental health and well-being, Isaac said he was keen to share his story of endurance, resilience, determination, and advocacy for mental health. I'm delighted he did, as I've since received many messages from listeners saying that they absolutely loved his episode, really related with his story, and thanked me for finding such fab guests. Well, sometimes I do find fab guests, but other times, like Isaac, they find me, so I can't take credit for finding Isaac. The importance of mental health awareness cannot be underestimated. It is a theme that runs through almost every episode of this show. Some are more explicit than others with their messaging. And with Isaac, he shared just how critical improving his mental health had been to his survival. Do you ever find yourself trapped indoors, lost in the digital shuffle, craving fresh air? Having attributed nature to saving his life, it is nature which now fuels eco-adventurer, international keynote speaker and philanthropist Isaac Kenyon's purpose-driven mission. Leaving behind him the deepest depths of digital burnout to redefine human endurance through many world record achievements and by raising millions of pounds for environmental conservation and mental health causes, Isaac's purpose is clear. It is to create a positive impact. With all the adventures that Isaac has faced, he said that the biggest one had been to take control of his well-being. Not wanting anyone to go through the trauma he'd experienced, he's now connecting people, planet and well-being in his work, revealing just what is possible when you combine moments of creation with adventure and the healing power of nature. As with Hillary Briggs, Isaac has also been spurred on to achieve what others deem impossible. Not afraid of his own creativity, not only does he physically explore the realms of the world, but he allows his mind to explore the realms of imagination. Actively encouraging creativity to achieve goals and ambitions, but using the inspiration of nature to provide space for reflection, mindfulness, and slowing down. We're not meant to be separate from nature. We are nature. The bond we have with the natural world is vital for our mental and emotional health. Unplugging himself from the fast-paced digital world of productivity was essential for him to reset. Isaac found solace in the woods at a time when he was feeling lost. Nature was instrumental to his healing. He managed to restore balance and has since gone on to encourage others to navigate their own challenges, to find tranquility among chaos, and to maintain mental well-being through mindful choices. Isaac talks of how having an aligned shared purpose acts as a guide through challenges while enhancing individual and collective happiness to drive success. Nature saved Isaac from suicide and sparked the capacity for creative adventure. He discovered what he cared about most and with his purpose formed a plan and focused on it. He thinks about how his why fits into the world around him in all contexts. Now, I almost called this episode Moments of Creation because life is made up of a series of moments of creation, one following another. It goes back to what Adrian shared about emergence and evolution. Reflection is followed by action, which is again followed by reflection with action and so on. Again, it also comes back to personal growth, overcoming challenges, creating the right environment, and connecting or reconnecting with nature to inspire change in oneself and in others. Isaac reached out to me back in September 2023 because he's clear about what he stands for and what he stands against. He knows the critical role purpose plays. His goal is to raise funds and to initiate meaningful conversations about mental health, especially among men, and to break the stigma surrounding it. Given the alarming increase in mental health crisis referrals among young individuals, Isaac's mission, in partnership with Mind Mental Health Charity, is to address this issue. For Isaac, moments of creation have had and will continue to have profound impact on his life. Couple creativity with the healing power of nature and you have an unstoppable tour de force. So I want to say thank you to Isaac for reaching out to create this collaboration between us. And I really look forward to seeing the fruits of what moments of creation others will go on to as a result of tuning into this episode. My final reflection today is episode 393, Becoming the Artist with Bernie Mac. Be unique, but conform. Stand out, but look like this to fit in. With a deep desire to make it in the music industry, these were the paradoxes Bernie Mac faced. Taking on board the messaging she felt might help elevate her career meant Bernie got swept up in the machine and lost touch with her authenticity, which affected her mental health and well-being. This experience formed the foundation of Bernie's now purpose-driven focus to empower new musical artists, helping them build their music career with authenticity whilst ensuring that their well-being remains center stage. This is Bernie's vision to becoming the artist. Again, there are similarities to be found here with Isaac's story in that Bernie also got swept up in the modern day societal expectations, losing connection to who she really was. Her authenticity was compromised and it came at a cost. It was her mental health which suffered. Like Isaac, she wants to prevent others from experiencing what she went through, and this has come to form the heart of her purpose-focused work. With a voice of experience, Bernie is focused on empowering others to embrace authentic decision-making. Her purpose is achieved through working with others as a collective and making it possible for new artists to stay true to who they are. Bernie mentioned how important it was for her to do the inner work, to understand her belief systems and learn what had been holding her back. She spoke of imposter syndrome and the question, am I good enough? Breaking free from her limiting beliefs, she was able to embrace her own value and self-worth, ensuring that they were detached from career success and external validation. She prioritised her well-being and recognised the shift that she was enough. This is who I am. She also highlighted that this question of am I good enough is not unique to the music industry, but is intensified for those in the spotlight. I pointed out at the time to Bernie that there is a different spin to answering the am I good enough question. This could be perceived as controversial, but hear me out here because I think it makes sense. I believe it can be answered in at least four different ways, with a negative no and a negative yes, but also with both a positive yes and a positive no. Let me explain. When you say, am I good enough? And you answer no, this is where you put yourself down, not believing that you have it in yourself to perform at a certain level. Answering with a negative yes, I am good enough, could also put a limit on your growth and stop you from progressing. In answering with a positive yes, in the sense of this is who I am and I don't need to change to fit in and I have what it takes, is another way to respond. And there's also a positive no in terms of knowing I am good enough. However, I also know that I can grow, learn, improve, and evolve to be better. And it all comes down to how you speak to yourself and how you respond to that question. Like with Bernie, a key lesson in creating my life of purpose was to understand how to have a deep connection with myself first, then to understand the connectedness I have with others. This is necessary to create a life of purpose, and it is your responsibility to believe that you are enough and to love yourself. Focus on you first. Understanding your needs and your values demonstrates a high level of understanding of your own well-being and happiness. You must take care of yourself before you can help others. When you focus on self-care and practice self-love, you take a step closer to living a more fulfilled life. Understanding who you are and what your uniqueness offers to the world will ensure that you are being true to yourself and will help you to live an authentic life. When you are at peace with yourself, you are practicing self-love. When you love yourself, you will have more inclination and energy to love others. So let's talk self-talk and focus on your inner critic, inner coach, inner champion, or sometimes my inner companion is what I call it. Now, bearing in mind you're going to spend the rest of your life with this inner talk, wouldn't it be a whole lot easier if you got along with one another? It's time to focus on the person who's chattering away 24/7 in your head. Or is there more than that one person? For me, this all comes back to language, and more specifically, the language that you choose to use. I'm always seeking to expand my knowledge in this area, and knowing that your positive self-talk can become a powerful tool to become more confident, driven, focused, productive, motivated, and ultimately more purposeful in your actions, I'm eager to understand how you can master this inner, internal dialogue. Keen also to learn more about the purpose of the inner critic and how it performs its protective role to keep you safe, I watched a webinar on Taming Your Inner Critic by the One of Many co-founder, Annie Stoker. And this is when I was properly introduced to a phrase that I'd heard used many times before, but had actually misunderstood its true meaning, voice dialogue. I subsequently went on to complete an online quiz to understand the roles that my different selves play, their specific triggers and their respective dominance in influencing me and my decisions. And to dive deeper into this field, I've just started reading Embracing Ourselves by Hal Stone and Sidra Elstone, which came highly recommended by Annie Stoker. And from Annie's quiz, I received a list of the six inner voices, which for me speak the loudest and have the strongest influence on me. I now realise that my inner critic is just one of these voices in my head. And with all the other sub-personalities, there are many voices regularly competing to influence me and my actions. The inner critic sits amongst the company of the pusher, responsible self, perfectionist, pleaser, and the protector controller. And this is when I had a real light bulb connection to how my mind works. I may be late to the party here, but as always, I say it's never too late to ... So I'm delighted to now be able to label this occurrence, hello, voice dialogue. You know that thought process that you have when in relation to a decision you need to make, or when you're facing a dilemma, you think part of me thinks or feels this, and another part of me thinks or feels that, and another part feels or thinks this. Well, these are just three or four or some of your different inner selves carrying out that voice dialogue. And like me, you've probably been aware of the different parts of what makes you who you are for years, but have you ever put a name to the process? Well, now you can. And not only can you put a name to it, you can also understand the purpose behind what's going on. The different selves are simply trying to keep you safe. They believe that they're protecting you, but in reality, as the inner critic often does, by pointing out all your faults and mistakes, it can often cause great suffering in the process. So it's key to identify that each of these voices are not necessarily always speaking the truth. Also, understanding that you can separate out these voices by identifying these selves, giving them their names, appreciating what their specific roles are and keeping you safe, and knowing that you have the choice to stop being run by what they have to say gives you back your power. It's not often that I express regret in life. However, learning more about the role of the inner critic and how it polices the rules your many subpersonalities have set is certainly an area of knowledge that I believe would have made a huge difference to me if I understood exactly what had been happening to me earlier on in life. It would undoubtedly have saved me so much time, energy, and money, not to mention reducing the amount of confusion, indecision, burnout, stress, frustration, or anxiety experienced in the pursuit of control, perfection, people-pleasing, trying to live up to impossible rules that have been set by these subpersonalities. Anyway, regret is futile, so what to do now? It's still early days. I recognise I've only just scraped the surface on this topic, and I'm curious, though, as to where it will lead me. For now, though, I will finish reading the book and see what comes from processing that information through my regular reflection with action practice. Life how I knew it to be is not life as I now know it to be. It has vastly shifted. What I've discovered so far about how to tame the inner critic and its role within voice dialogue has been nothing short of revelatory, and I have barely scraped the surface, I'm sure. I wonder if this is news to you too, and which inner voices are speaking the loudest for you right now and why. How has this conversation had an impact on you? What value have you received from tuning in? What are your reflections with actions? Please take a moment to leave me an Apple Podcast or Spotify review sharing how Focus on Why has made a difference to you today. Remember, the conversation doesn't end here. To keep it going, simply connect with me on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter, or join the Focus on Why Facebook group. All the links are in the show notes. Have a purpose, have a plan, focus on why.